4, James chapter number 4 this evening. And I had planned to preach this message last Wednesday evening. We were, of course, dealing with a power issue last Wednesday night and not able to have services, and we missed the opportunity to be here and gathered together. But thankful that power, of course, has been restored. And that had been a long time, but there's some folks in some of the parts of the country that have had no power for a lengthy period of time, and we ought to pray for those folks. But this evening, I want to look at this single verse of Scripture in James chapter number 4. And before we get into the verse, I want to remind you, over the last several weeks on Sunday mornings, we've been looking at that passage of Scripture in Colossians chapter number 3. Now, we've been dealing with Colossians 3, really verses 5 through 14. This past Sunday morning, we looked at verses 15 through 17 and dealt with our behavior in the church house. But in verses 5 through 14, we really spent 3 weeks examining that portion of Scripture. And it starts out with the Apostle Paul saying to the people at Colossae, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." Literally, crucify your flesh. That was the title of the message that I preached. And after we go through that portion of Scripture and look at all of those verses, we find that it's there in Colossians 3 that the principle of putting off and putting on is given to us. We find it in the book of Ephesians as well, but we see it laid out for us in Colossians chapter number 3. As we begin to focus upon that principle, we understand the instruction that we've been given, really to put off the old man with his fleshly deeds. You know, your flesh has a desire. We understand as we live in this world that after salvation, our flesh still has a desire, and we must learn to crucify our flesh. We must learn to put off the old man, the flesh, with his deeds. We referred to it as being the old man with his grave clothes. And we also understand that after we put off all these things, that we're to put on all of these other things. And as we begin to look at the put on principle and the truth there, that we're to put on the new man, that we're to walk in the Spirit. I'm thankful for the promise that God has given us in Galatians 5, that if we walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And what a blessing to know that with the power of God, remember, God's plan is that we would be sanctified, that we would be conformed to the image of His dear Son. And as we go through that process of sanctification, it's the putting off of the old, the putting on of the new, and what a blessing. Now, as I think about those messages on Sunday mornings, I am well aware of the fact that the enemy doesn't like that kind of preaching. Amen? The enemy doesn't like that kind of preaching. Why? Because he'd rather us just go ahead and walk in the flesh, and he'd rather us just go ahead and flounder around and waste a bunch of time and so on and so forth. He don't really have a whole lot of problems with the nominal type of believer and just going through the motions. And so when you preach messages, a series such as this from Colossians 3, I find that the enemy doesn't like that kind of preaching, and therefore I assume that the enemy has, or the enemy soon will, increase his attack upon those who are desiring to be doers of the Word. As soon as we decide that we're going to start putting off all of these things and putting on all these things, and the Holy Spirit of God is working through the preaching of the Word of God, and we determine that we're going to walk in the Spirit by the power of God, not in our own power, not in our own might, but through God's power, that we're going to seek to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, you can expect that the enemy will intensify his attack. And therefore, the message this evening, I trust, will be a message that will be both practical and applicable, a message that will help us as we engage in spiritual warfare. The title, if you're taking notes this evening for this message, is simply this: Battle Plan for Victory. Battle Plan for Victory. I'm thankful that the Word of God tells us that we are more than conquerors through Christ. I'm thankful that Paul testifies and stands in great victory when he says, "Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." John says this in 1 John, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." We understand that the Word of God teaches us that we can be overcomers, we can be valiant, obedient, we can be conquerors. In fact, in 1 John 2, you don't need to turn there, stay in James, but in 1 John 2, in verse number 14, as John is addressing the young men in that verse, halfway through the verse, he says, because ye are strong, but he's not speaking about physical strength, because he says, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Oh, what insight is given to us about being strong in the Lord and the power of His might by that Word of God abiding in us. So the battle plan for victory, I believe, is given to us here in James 4 in verse number 7. It's a familiar verse of Scripture. It's a simple verse of Scripture. But I hope, again, this evening that the message will be both practical and applicable, that God would help us as we engage in spiritual warfare. Notice the Bible says this in James 4 and verse number 7, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." If you're taking notes, number one, the principle of submitting. The principle of submitting. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. The word submit means to yield, to obey, to be subject to. The word submit is synonymous with the word surrender, and we often will use that word surrender in speaking about. In fact, Kimberly played on Sunday morning for our invitation, "I surrender all." And we understand the idea of this word submitting. The Bible says to us in Romans chapter number 6, the importance of whom we yield ourselves to, and we're to yield ourselves to God. We are to submit to God. See, the reality is that this battle plan for victory begins not in my strength, not in your strength, but it begins in a submission to the omnipotent God. We need to be strong in the power of His might. And we find here that this principle of submitting is key. We find it's the first step. This evening, you and I must recognize the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, really in every area of our lives, and then submit completely. Just come to that place of submission. You know, it's interesting to me that this idea of submission really for the child of God at times seems to be a challenge. It seems to be difficult for us to really submit and surrender, to come to that place of yielding. Oftentimes in our own lives, we seek to engage in warfare in our own power and our own might. But remember, we're told in Ephesians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Thus, we are to be strong in the power of God and to go in His power. It begins with the submission. I believe this evening that as we find the first reference here, this first aspect of this battle plan, submit yourselves therefore to God, that submission, think about this, submission is an indication of humility. Amen? Submission is an indication. It really reveals our humility, which, according to verse number 6, leads to God's grace. God's grace in this particular context is dealing with His enablement. I'm thankful for God's saving grace, but I'm also thankful for His enabling. And we find that the Bible says in verse number 6, "But He," speaking of God, "giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God." That act of submission reveals, it's an indicator of our humility, and it's going to lead to God's grace, His enablement. It's so critical, it's so essential that we have the grace of God as we think about this battle plan for victory. We need His enabling. We need His power. We need His might. We need to be strong in the Lord, and we find that it begins with submission. It begins with submission. I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody misquote James 4:7, and here's how they misquote it. "Resist the devil and he will flee." It's not what it says. You can try to resist as much as you want in your own power, but you're no match for Satan. But when you submit to God, and then you resist the devil, he will flee. Why? Because Satan's no match for you when you're walking in the power of God. And we must be careful to understand the importance of submission this evening. It's the first step for victory, this battle plan for victory. We see not only the principle of submitting, notice number two, the process of resisting. The Bible says, therefore, submit yourselves therefore to God. Then notice it just says, resist the devil. The word resist means to withstand. It means to oppose. And I think about this idea of resist, and as we look here in this particular text of Scripture, we say, okay, this is great. I'm supposed to resist the devil. But my mind says, how? How do we resist them? What do we do? How is it that we are able to resist the enemy, Satan, as he would come and bring engaging in this spiritual warfare? Well, I believe, first of all, we must put on the armor of God daily. It is absolutely imperative that we put on the armor of God. Turn over to the book of Ephesians, if you will. Hold your place here, and James will be back in just a few moments. But I want you to notice in Ephesians chapter number 6 how that God gives us this truth with regard to the armor of God. Listen, it is absolutely imperative. It would be foolish for someone that is a soldier in an army, in a military campaign, it would be foolish for them to enter the battlefield without their armor. Would it not? There are certain elements that you would put on. There are certain pieces of equipment that you would be sure to put on before you would go out and engage in battle. Why? Because otherwise you'd be vulnerable to the enemy. I saw a report just the other day about an individual that was testifying of almost losing his life by a sniper bullet. But if it were not for his helmet, he would have passed into eternity in just a moment. But that helmet, I bet you that guy was happy that he put on his armor. Amen? And so listen, in a spiritual sense, we're engaged in battle. If we were walking outside and there's people shooting guns at us, we're going to take some precaution. We're going to do certain things, right? We're going to make sure that we're going with the armor that we can have. Well, spiritually speaking, you know that the enemy is firing his fiery darts. We're engaged in spiritual warfare. So how is it that I'm going to resist the devil? Number one, I put on the armor of God. Notice in Ephesians 6, beginning in verse number 10, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on," notice what it says, "the whole armor of God." We don't select which pieces we think are important for that particular day. We don't go through and say, you know what, that one, I don't need that one, but I think this one's important. No, he says, put on the whole armor of God. Then notice he says this, "that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now I told you that the word resist there in James 4 in verse number 7 means to withstand or to oppose. We see here in verse number 11 the reference to "that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Notice as we continue going through, you'll make note of the word withstand. In verse number 12, the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Wherefore, notice, he's going to give this instruction again. It's so imperative that we put on the whole armor of God that he references it again in verse number 13. "Wherefore, take unto you," again, note, "the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to," what? "Withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench," notice, "all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." I notice as we look at this list that is provided to us with the armor of God, it is imperative for us as the people of God, if we want to resist the devil, we understand the first step is that principle of submitting. And I say, I am yielded, I am submitting, I am surrendering to God. I'm not seeking to walk in my own power by the pride that I might have. No, I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to submit myself to the lordship of Christ, and I'm going to then resist the devil, but I must follow the principle of what it means to resist. And the process, I believe, begins with putting on the armor. Right in the middle of all of this that is mentioned, we find that really it's not in the middle, it's towards the end that he talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I would say the second aspect of this process that we would deal with for resisting is that we must know this book. We must know the Word of God. It is absolutely essential for us to know the Scriptures. If there's a particular area in your life in which you know that the enemy seeks to attack on a regular basis, maybe there's a particular weakness in your life, I would counsel you to go find a bucket load of verses that deal with that particular subject, that topic, and just memorize them. Commit them to memory. Put them on index cards and put them in the dashboard of your vehicle, on the mirror in your bathroom. Put them all over the place. Why? Because you need to know the Word of God. Because it's the only way, that's the only offensive weapon that we have when we put on this armor of God. But then he says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We understand that it's very unusual today that we would fight with swords, but at the time of this writing, that was a very common practice in how they would enter into battle. It was absolutely necessary for a soldier to be skillful with his sword. Otherwise, it could end in defeat. It could end in death. And so in like manner, as the people of God, we must be skillful when it comes to the Word of God. We must know how to combat the temptations that come when the devil is seeking to tempt us. We must know some verses of Scripture that deal specifically with that temptation. I'm thankful for the testimony of Joseph when Potiphar's wife sought to, on day-by-day basis, sought to get him to commit sin and commit an awful, awful practice of lying with her, that he said, "How then shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He understood that it was a sin before God Almighty. And this evening, as we would understand the importance, the process of resisting, it's not just something that we say, okay, I'm resisting. What does that mean? No, I'm actively resisting. I'm putting on daily the whole armor of God. I'm daily seeking to know this book so that I can have an understanding of the Word of God, so that I can use skillfully the sword of the Spirit. We find that back in James chapter number 4, in verse number 7, there's the principle of submitting, there's the process of resisting, there's a promise to claim. I love the last words of James 4 in verse number 7, because the Bible says this, and he will flee from you. Isn't that wonderful? It's a promise. Listen, God didn't say all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? God didn't say he might flee from you. No, God's given us here in this single verse of Scripture a battle plan for victory, that when the devil seeks to tempt us, when the devil seeks to come in and devour as he desires to do so. Remember, Peter says that in 1 Peter 5 when he likens the enemy to a lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Again, in that text of Scripture in verse number 9 of 1 Peter chapter number 5, notice what Peter says, whom resists steadfast in the faith. And again, we see that word resist, right? So we understand this evening that as we look at this battle plan for victory, that God says, listen, it starts with submitting. It starts with a submission. And as you submit, you're revealing your humility, and it leads to the grace of God, His enabling. And then you resist the devil. You put on the whole armor of God. You know the Word of God. You're able to use that sword of the Spirit skillfully. And then you have a promise to claim, He will flee from you. That's wonderful. He will flee from you. I want you to think this evening, as we look at this battle plan for victory, and I want you to consider with me how this battle plan was implemented perfectly in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, if you will, in the fourth chapter. In Luke chapter number 4, God gives us a record of the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. And in these 13 verses of Luke chapter number 4, verses 1 through 13, I believe that it provides us with a perfect implementation by the Lord Jesus Christ of this battle plan that we're speaking of this evening. Notice with me as we started in James 4, and we said that number 1 was a principle of submitting. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Notice in Luke 4 in verse number 1, the Bible says, and Jesus, notice this, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and then notice this, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. He did not go into the wilderness on his own accord. Now we understand that he is God, but you understand that what Paul tells us in the book of Philippians is that the Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself. Remember that he took on himself no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of man. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And we see here that often the Lord Jesus Christ would speak about always doing the will of the Father. And here in this verse of Scripture, in Luke 4 and verse number 1, it tells us two important things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we know that he's God, but you understand that he's left us an example that we should follow his steps. And number 1 tells us that he was full of the Holy Ghost. And number 2 tells us that he was led by the Spirit. I believe that that reveals to us a level of submission on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know there are some that would say, how could he submit? He's God. He is God. It will make your head hurt as you try to think about all of those things, because the reality is that as he humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant, the likeness of man, there were certain things that he gave up. He never gave up his deity in its entirety, but we understand that he submitted to the will of God. Remember as he prayed in the garden, nevertheless, not my will, but thine will. Right? And so we find here that there's this this first principle that we see from James 4, this first aspect of this battle plan. The second aspect of this battle plan that we mentioned in James 4 was the process of resisting. And I talked about putting on the whole armor of God. I talked about knowing the Word of God. Notice we won't take time to read the entirety of the passage, but I want you to note three verses of Scripture in particular. And notice in verse number 4, that Jesus answered him, the enemy, the devil, Satan, and said this, "It is written." It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He's referencing a verse from the book of Deuteronomy. He's using the word of God specifically with regard to the temptation there in verse number 3. The temptation was to command this stone that it be made bread. The Bible tells us that after those 40 days that he was and hungered in verse number 2 because he did eat nothing. And so Satan comes at that particular time, in that particular moment. He says, hey, command that this stone be made bread. Now, could Jesus have done that? Sure, he could have done that. But he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He's resisting. We find that in verse number 8, the Bible says this, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Again, he's referencing Old Testament from the book of Deuteronomy. He's using the word of God, and he's using it skillfully. Why? Notice the temptation in verse number 7, if thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. If thou wilt worship me. And Jesus says, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I'm thankful that, obviously, the example that is given to us is an example of using the Word of God skillfully. The verse that is quoted is directly relevant to the temptation that is given. It's not just some, Jesus wept, I memorized John 11:35. That's not going to help you when the temptation comes. I'm not suggesting that there aren't verses that you ought to memorize, but you memorize skillfully. Notice number 3 in this process of resisting. In verse number 12, Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, He doesn't say it is written. He said it is said. It's the same idea. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Another reference from the book of Deuteronomy. And so as we look at this battle plan for victory that we find in James 4 and verse number 7 that we're seeking to make very practical and applicable in our lives this evening. And we look at that battle plan and we break it up into these particular areas. And then we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our example. He's the perfect example. And we find this this resisting that is taking place in verses 2 through 12 where he's using the Word of God skillfully. It is written. It is written. It is said. Listen, when the enemy comes to you and he begins to tempt you, if you pull out some verses of Scripture, what was the promise? He will flee from you. What happened in Luke chapter number 4? We'll read verse number 13. Remember we said it was a promise to claim? Well, here in verse number 13, the Bible says this, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, notice these words, he departed from him. I understand it says for a season, and that also gives us insight that we'll mention in just a moment. But I want you to rejoice in that truth where it says he departed from him. Because the promise to claim in James 4, 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know that Satan, the devil, he don't like messing with Christians that are walking in the power of God that know the Word of God. He just doesn't. He'd like to go have an easier opponent. Someone that's walking in the flesh. Someone that's carnal. Someone that doesn't know the Word of God. Much easier for him to have victory. And so when we take this model that's been given to us and we incorporate it, we implement it in our lives, we take the practical aspect and apply the truth and we say daily, I'm going to submit myself to God. I understand His Lordship in every area of my life and I am going to submit to His authority. I'm going to follow His direction. And as I do that, I'm also going to resist the devil. I'm going to put on the whole armor of God. I'm not going to leave off certain pieces. I'm not going to go out and make myself vulnerable. I'm going to put on all the whole armor of God. I'm going to memorize the Word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119 verses 9 and 11. And we take this practical aspect and we are resisting the enemy and then we can claim the promise that he will flee from you. It's a wonderful truth of the Word of God. At the end of verse number 13, the Bible says, for a season. You understand this evening that though you may have submitted to God today, and though you may have resisted the devil today, and though he may have fled from you today, he may come back tomorrow. Amen? That's why it's a daily exercise. This battle plan for victory, that we are daily engaged in this spiritual warfare, and daily I have to submit, and daily I have to resist, and daily if I do those things, he'll flee from me. I don't know how long a season is in my life, in your life. But I know that the Bible says that he departed from him, and that's precious. We see the battle plan for victory given to us in James 4, in verse number 7, but we find here in Luke chapter number 4 how the Lord Jesus Christ implemented perfectly this plan that we've dealt with this evening. And oh, that God would help us as His people. Listen, the Word of God is relevant. The Word of God is practical. We are to be doers of the Word. And as we understand that we have an enemy and we're engaged in the spiritual warfare, I am rejoicing this evening that God gives us a blueprint, a battle plan for victory. It's not something that's just kind of, well, I think somehow if everything falls right, you can have victory in your life. No, no, no. He's given us a process to follow. I asked this question in recent days to an individual, how is it that we can make a decision that would endure? In other words, not to engage in some type of sinful behavior, a decision, as the three Hebrew children did in Daniel 3, not to bow. How can we make a decision such as that, not to bow, not to sin? It's when that decision is made on the truth of the Word of God. It is written. See, God's Word doesn't change. Aren't you thankful for that? Can you imagine if God's Word changed? Man, it'd be crazy. But God's Word doesn't change. It's a constant. The society changes, the culture changes, what they say is right, what they say is wrong changes, but God's Word is steady, it's a constant. And as we hide the Word of God in our hearts and we stand upon the principles of God's Word, God will enable us to have victory. Submit, resist, and then claim that victory. The promise, He will flee from you. Let's pray. Father, we love You. How we thank You for Your Word. And I pray this evening that You'd take this simple message and help each one of us to apply it in our lives. We thank You for giving us the truth, providing for us this blueprint or this battle plan for victory. We thank You for the example of our Savior as it's recorded in Luke 4. And God, I pray that as we engage in spiritual warfare, You'd help us to submit, help us to resist, and then help us to rejoice as we see our enemy flee. Help us not to get prideful. Help us not to get overconfident. Help us to continue daily submitting, lest we enter into that next conflict in the power of our own flesh and fail miserably. Thank You for the opportunity to pray as a church family. We pray that You'd bless our time, and we'll thank You for it. In Christ's name we pray.